fighting for America.
I'm a good member who made a mistake, and I'm apologizing, and I'm asking for forgiveness. It's a terrible mistake, and I'll never do it again.
Fighting for Idaho.
You have to know what you have, how you're going to spend it, and until you can use what you have effectively, the rest of it doesn't matter.
You know, you've harped on this $600,000 quite a bit. Could you just let it go?
You can't just throw money at a problem and hope that it gets better.
Fighting for you.
You know, it's not about Kevin Miller, Kevin Kip, Kevin Miller, Kevin Miller. You know, it's about the issues. It's about the people. And it really is one remarkable show. I can't thank you enough.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning. On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning, Kevin Miller with you here at 580 KIDO. Thank you all for joining us. Big issue coming up in CUNA on Tuesday, of course, the levy issue. We have the folks here to talk a little bit about that, the friends of the CUNA School District. Hopefully I got your name right. It's always good to be accurate here in the fair and balanced reporting. We have a roundtable of folks here that are here to, well, to answer your questions and to talk about this. Last week we had some folks on that were against it. This week we've got the folks on that are for it. So why don't we go from right to left, I believe, and introduce yourselves here at the 580 KIDO roundtable.
Amy Harder, a parent from CUNA School District.
I'm Shelby Harris. I'm one of the teachers out there.
My name is Amber Abercrombie, and I have two children in the district.
And I'm Brian Fletcher. I'm the business manager, and I should say I'm just here representing myself, not the district or the Board of Trustees.
All right. Well, let's start with the big issue here. What's at stake? Last week we talked to some folks that were, you know, want some better accounting. They want the levy to go down. What's at stake here?
At stake here would be that our children could possibly have larger class sizes and less choices. So to me, that's a no-brainer.
No-brainer indeed, but you go back to the, you know, playing devil's advocate. People did vote, and they voted it down. Why come back again?
A lot of that information possibly could have been misconstrued and by a very small margin.
I feel like if you want to press that argument, I mean, I wouldn't even be able to vote as a woman if you go back in history and just take a vote the first time. Sometimes.
Now, come on, isn't that a stretch?
It's a little stretch, but I mean, sometimes things are important enough that you don't just throw your hands up. And this is important enough to us that we needed to go back and make things right. So that's what we're doing this time.
All right, indeed. Shelby, your perspective?
I think it's really important that parents are aware of the realities that we're facing if this does not pass. And not just parents, but the community at large. These are kids that are growing up in our community, and they're going to be the leaders in our community in a few years. And we owe it to them to give them the best possible shot at a quality education. And the more funding we take away from our district, the more challenging that becomes.
Yeah, thank you, Kevin. You know, the supplemental levy for the CUNA School District is about 11% of the general fund funding. That's a pretty significant piece, and losing that will have a material impact on the quality of education that we're able to provide.
A lot of people, though, would argue that that's the state's job. The state should continue to restore funding. Why go to the local level?
Well, the state has, the recession in 2008 had a pretty big impact on the state's ability to fund schools, not just CUNA, but all districts across the state, and I'm sure this was a nationwide effect, not just here in Idaho, but what really took place is that the funding level on a per-student basis dropped dramatically. For CUNA, the low point was 2011 and 12, and the state has done a nice job of providing some additional funding, but it's really the supplemental levy that's helped filling that gap to get us back up to an increased funding on a per-student basis. And even with the supplemental levy, last year being our last full year, we still did not have the same amount of per-student funding for the general fund that we did in 2008 and 9 when we did not have a supplemental levy.
And if we reflect back on 2011 and 2012 when our funding was cut so dramatically, I was teaching a math class of 40 sixth grade students. That's unacceptable. It's just, it's not okay. You can't build the same relationships that you can when you have smaller class sizes, and it does impact their learning.
580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. This is not just a CUNA issue, but an issue throughout the Treasure Valley that we've been covering for quite some time. Again, playing the devil's advocate here until some people will call in or not. If not, we'll just hear from your side. The issue involving thumbs up there. I saw that, Amy. but we take a look at this, and people are going to say, hey, every time a levy doesn't pass, we always hear the same doom and gloom. We've got to cut staff. We've got to cut teachers. We've got to cut. Why not be more effective with the money that you have? Anybody from the panel here can jump in, since we have a room full of guests.
Sure. Yeah, let me run with that. You know, in our general fund, 88% of the expenses that are paid are staff. So anytime that you have such a disproportionate amount of the funding that you receive in that capacity being cut, 88% of it theoretically will come from people. And so when you start looking at people, whether it's teachers or support staff or administration, the fact of the matter is that you really only have four primary places to cut, and that's either the number of staff, the number of days they work, the amount that you pay them, or the benefits that you provide to those folks. You know, of that other remaining 12%, the you know, that's supplies for the classroom, that's utilities to run the schools. So it gets pretty narrow in where the other opportunities to make dramatic cuts offer themselves. So it really does boil down to the number of people. Even though that's not where we prefer to go, that's not our first choice, but you know, that's the biggest piece of the pie.
Well, a lot of people would say, why can't you run education like a business?
Because it's not a business. These are kids. It's people. It doesn't function that way. Anybody who comes into a classroom and sees the human characteristic of what we do day in and day out could quickly understand that it's not a business. I encourage people, go into a classroom and see what it's about. It's not a business. But kids.
Then you also have the aspect where it's not a business in that if I was a business owner and I knew that there was going to be, you know, my budget was going to be tightened, I would figure out ways to bring in additional income. You know, maybe I'd work more, that sort of thing, or I would stop providing certain services. We can't do that as a district. Your hands are tied. You can't just look at a classroom and be like, I'm going to teach 15 of you because that's the only money I have. You have to teach all 30 students. And then the only way that you can actually reduce your budget is to make cuts. You can't bring in additional money. I guess the flip side to that would be to get grants, which our district is excellent at doing. They're very fiscally responsible, and that is one of the things that when we're awarded grants, we're told time and time again that the CUNA School District is a fiscally responsible district, and that's why we continue to get grants. But when you get grants, yes, you're bringing in income, but that money is earmarked for certain things, and so your hands are tied. So as a business, you know, typically you're bringing in income. We are not bringing in income.
Kevin, keep in mind as well that the CUNA School District has an influx of families moving in tremendously quickly. And since 2011 and 12, I believe, that it has grown. And we're not allowed to turn those schools away, children away. We have to accept every child that moves into the district regardless of anything about them.
Yeah, that's true. The district has been growing since I've been there in 2008-9. It was growing before that. It's one of the fastest growing districts before that. Each year, the district has grown with the exception of the 2011 and 12 year. We actually contracted by about 50 students that year. But just to add, touch on the running it like a business, one way that the district is very much like a business is that we have to compete for labor, for talent out there. And in the last election vote, which was in March, CUNA was the only district in the Treasure Valley that did not have a supplemental levy pass. That means we're competing to retain the quality staff that we've invested in, and those folks have an opportunity now to not just leave CUNA to go to other districts in other states, but they actually have the opportunity now to leave the district and potentially go to other districts in the Treasure Valley and earn a better or higher income.
We go to the phones. We go to Ron Paul Jim at 580KIDO. Good morning, Ron Paul Jim.
Good morning. You said, what was it, 88% of the budget is to the staff?
Yeah, 88% of the general fund budget. And the general fund budget is defined as the money that primarily comes from the state of Idaho and then comes from local sources like the supplemental levy.
Okay, so that's every combined resource you have?
No, there's federal funding. Then there are other funds such as food service programs.
Okay.
Capital education. I'm sorry, capital construction projects. But the general fund is really where by and large, we run the operations of the district, so that's why the conversation is really focused on that.
Okay. I'm just wondering, of that percentage of staff, how much of it is teachers, and can you cut staff that is non-essential, that are not teachers?
That's a good point. Hold on. Ron Paul, Jim, let me jump in and piggyback on your point. We saw what happened in Nampa, and for me, it was I didn't approve of this, where you have the privatization of the custodians. People say, well, let's just have the private people do it. Let's just bid it out to everybody else, and the lowest bidder gets it, no matter who or what are in the school districts. We've heard that many times from a lot of people, A, that listen to the station, or B, that may be for or against the levy, saying, we don't need to have custodians there. We can hire Timmy's Custodial Service out of Columbus, Ohio. Chirp, chirp. Anybody going to answer that?
Come on, guys.
This is dead air here. I got it. Come on. Let's roll.
If you outsource everything from your own state, where's your income coming from? Then you have a lack of people working in your state and providing for and taxes.
Right, but on the other hand, if you're paying someone, let's say, $15-$20 an hour, and you can pay someone $8 an hour, why not do that?
I think our custodians wish they were paid $20 an hour.
Right, I'm just saying that example has...
I get what you're saying.
Well, I wish somebody would. Go ahead.
I'd like to say that, to piggyback on that point is, I heard someone say that this was good for the for business. Well, let's the private sector have the business and cut non-essential staff members to balance the budget. You don't have to cut teachers.
Usually the concept of non-essential staff is not teachers, but it's relegated to the what we call support staff or classified staff. I can tell you, down in CUNA, about 70% of the classified staff live in the city of CUNA. So when we start cutting what's considered or often defined as non-essential, we're really impacting the direct economy of the local CUNA folks. And I think that a couple weeks ago when the mayor was on Mayor of CUNA, that was one of his primary points, is that when you start making cuts, you actually start hurting CUNA more directly than you do other areas in the Treasure Valley.
All right, Ron, Paul, Jim, thank you for the call. Doug in CUNA at 580KIDO. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning. Hey, just as a comment, you know, I called in last week when you had the guys on there that were against the levy, and I'm totally against the levy. Every time something like this happens, where schools start crying that they're underfunded, and that they want to use the doom and gloom tactics of, well, you know, we're going to have to start laying off teachers because we can't pay them, and it's going to really hurt the kids. Well, the problem is they get all these administrators in there, and you never, ever, ever hear, oh, we're going to have to cut maybe an administrator. It's always the low people on the totem pole, the teachers and the janitors and such, that get laid off or that are threatened to get laid off. It's never the administrators. They need to start cutting some of the chiefs and get a few more Indians in there, because they pay the administrative staff a big chunk of change when the teachers don't get hardly anything.
So, Doug, as a teacher, I cannot function without an administrator. Our administrators work tirelessly. They work harder than you could possibly imagine to keep our schools functioning. Working without administration is not an option.
Yeah, and I can tell you, the last time that we had to make cuts as a result of the loss of the supplemental levy, we did cut administration. There were administrators from the school and administration from the district office that was reduced. So that has taken place, and if we do not get a supplemental levy this time, I can't say that administration is off the table. I think all things need to be considered.
Doug.
I don't want to discount what the teachers are doing and what some of the administrators are doing. I was personally involved in the charter school out there in CUNA, and they do a lot more with less than the general public schools. And, you know, they have one administrator, and that's it.
So I'm interested, do you know the population that that one administrator is overseeing?
I don't know now what it is. I know back then it wasn't all that large, but...
Right, so there's a there's a ratio there that's important, I think, to recognize.
That's true. But...
And you're also comparing apples to oranges when you're talking about, you know, our public school system as opposed to charter schools. From a charter school perspective, there is so much more flexibility. Their hands aren't tied. They don't have to serve every child. So you really can't even bring the charter school argument into the mix. You're not comparing apples to apples there.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning, the Friends of Aquino School District with us. We go to Jennifer. Jennifer, good morning. You're on 580 KIDO. Hello, Jennifer.
Hi. I'm calling from Kiuna, and I have three kids in the Kiuna School District. And in actuality, I had two twins that had Shelby Harris in their classroom that year awesome. When the levy was not in place, and I can tell you that year was not a good year for the kids. Not that Shelby Harris was excellent. She kept in great contact with me, but there was just too many kids for her to be able to reach in that classroom. 40 kids is just, it is not fair to the kids. But I also have another point to make.
Oh, please do.
I do. people that are, you know, against the levy but are, you know, for the teachers and everything, I don't know if people realize and understand where those cuts might come from. Because when we start talking about loss of contact days, loss of days where kids are learning, we are also talking about furlough days that you saw huge cuts in NAMPA. But that also is a loss in teachers' pay and pay cuts, which these teachers in this district have not had a pay raise in probably, I think I heard maybe 7 years, and then we're talking about pay cuts here. And so I think that's really important that people need to understand if they're really for teachers and really for the schools and really for the students, that's another piece that is really important.
Great point, Jennifer. Thank you for the call.
Thanks, Jen.
We go to Steve Ackerman, Idaho Steve at 580KIDO. We miss you, sir.
How you doing?
Got a lot of fans here in this room.
That's right. Well, it's been a good discussion. My concern has been that there's kind of an all or nothing. You've either got to go with this levy as is or nothing. And I've been arguing for prioritizing for teachers and kids. And so here's a simple question. We're going to get $600,000 in additional money from the state. That money is not going to the classroom. It's not going for teachers. It's going for plant and equipment. And so if we really want to prioritize, why aren't we taking the $600,000 and buying more textbooks or cutting back the class size or, frankly, giving teachers a raise?
Yeah, Steve, this is Brian. The $600,000,
hey,
I'll do good. Good to hear from you. The $600,000 that'll come to us is just an estimate of what will come through the line item is called the discretionary line item, which is a funding source that'll come into the general fund. And those dollars will come in, and we will use those for staffing needs and for supply needs. I think your broader point, though, is that those funds won't, at this particular point in time, there isn't a plan to use those dollars for textbooks. And I know you have some concerns about that, and I think those are valid concerns. I think we share those concerns that, you know, with the right funding amount that we would love to have more textbooks, additional textbooks, newer textbooks. But the focus on the dollars that will be coming in is really trying to keep the class sizes smaller, trying to retain staff, and, you know, the focus, just as folks say that our focus is on the teachers on the downside, really the focus is on the teachers on the upside.
But why don't we do this? Why don't we earmark some designated levies that go directly to the classroom. Why don't we say, let's take $1 million that will be designated, earmarked for the classroom, or earmarked for teacher pay, teacher raises. This is part of the argument I'm making is, you know, we're putting in one big number, and we are dividing it up better. And Brian has been wonderful at cutting up that pie better. And actually, there's a levy plans tab, which is on the CUNA school on the district website to help. But my worry is that we're buying off a huge amount of money, and then it's going to be divided. I'd rather earmark the money directly to the teachers, directly to learning materials, and I don't have a problem spending more money, but I want to know exactly where it's going to go, and I want it promised, as in a contract.
All right, let's go to Amy.
Steve, you know, you've harped on this $600,000 quite a bit since I've been hearing you talk. Could you just let it go and let the thing go through, and we'll work on the earmarking? Why should it be earmarked now? We're in such a fluxation right now. There's no time for that. Could you just let it go at this point?
No. If I'm going to get 600, look, when I see my niece going into CUNA who doesn't have enough science, they don't have enough science books, five science books for 25 kids, that's shameful.
All right. 10 seconds for each of you. Go.
Oh, me? I'm totally ready.
All right.
I just basically wanted to say that for us, we understand both sides of the issue, completely believe that the children of our school district are important. We're not accusing the other side of not valuing our children's education. But the way to show it is to vote for this levy, because if you don't, it will have a negative impact on those children and on those teachers.
That was 30 seconds. Quickly, 10 seconds.
And Amber's completely right. We've got to step up and show support for these kids. And these are not scare tactics. The fact that things are scary is just a reality. That does not make them scare tactics. And we need to have just trust the district.
Okay, this is Amy. Please vote for the levy for our children, and remember that they are the future of our city.
Thank you all for coming in.
Absolutely.
All right, you're listening to 580 KIDO.
Don Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men.
Men, men.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Thank you all for joining us. Dave Burnett with us. And I want to thank everybody who participated in the Best of the Treasure Valley. Do appreciate your votes. And we'll see what happens. We'll know the results in June. But do want to thank everybody that took the time, especially people in the 5 a.m. hour. I know it wasn't as easy as it's been in the years past, so we thank you for that. And here we are. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
So, did you vote?
For what? Isn't it next Tuesday?
No, what I just talked about, the Best in the Treasure Valley.
I'll get on and do that right now.
Well, it's over now.
What?
Yes.
No, I did vote.
I figure you like to just
pull your chain.
Exactly, so early in the morning, like 30 seconds into this thing.
Sure. Somebody's got to. That's what they pay me to do. They pay me to be a thorn in your side.
I had another word for that, but.
Well, sure you did.
So, I guess we really can't ignore it. The big ruling last night, we've got the news media going crazy over the situation involving the judge getting rid of defining marriage between a man and a woman, and everybody's going crazy, and people are running to the courthouses. But as I write about...
I think I saw 10 people running to the courthouse.
And we'll talk about... not so fast if you're thinking that same-sex ceremonies will be happening today.
Now, allegedly, Friday, is that the day that it's supposed to, the state has to issue the licenses? Isn't that Friday?
And Ray Amaya, here's another song for today. To quote the Weather Girls, the Weathermen, it's supposed to rain men on Friday. Remember that song, It's Raining Men?
I don't remember that song.
You don't remember that song, It's Raining Men? Hallelujah, It's Raining Men. Another great song.
I guess so. I missed it. Huh.
Yes, Friday.
Okay, that was my question. I was just curious as to whether you're going to answer it or not.
I did. You missed it. I did answer.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Raining Men or something like that. I turned on to remember that song. I can't remember what it is.
I know you're it's
did Ray say he remembered it?
It's like a shiny object.
Ray
remembers it.
Oh, okay.
It's a very popular song. You have to be hip to know these songs.
That's probably it, and I am not hip.
I don't know. But anyway, so...
If I was hip, I would have been out at the courthouse last night with the other 10 people.
Why would you be out there? You're already married.
Well, because if I was hip.
But you're already married.
Well, yeah. So there you go. I'm just saying, you were saying if you were hip, I'm saying I'm not hip.
Okay.
Evidently. Not by according to today's standards.
Well, we still live by the motto of this program.
Ain't no plans with a man. This is the 80s and I'm down with the ladies.
Well, let me ask you this question.
Oh, Tone, how I missed that. Of course, that's been replaced before you get to the question here. That's been replaced by the Liberal Steve version of that, which maybe we should all just get ready for. You know, you're familiar with the Liberal Steve version
yes.
of that, aren't you? Yes.
Yeah.
This ain't the 80s. We ain't down with the... Okay.
This ain't the 80s. We ain't down with the ladies. It's 2010. We're down with Kevin Miller and the men.
4 years ago.
Yes.
Wow.
That's a lot of history here.
That is a lot of history. I'm just kind of curious. Now that the judge has ruled that way, of which, by the way, more to come on that, as the governor said he will challenge it, how long until pot is legalized in this state?
I don't know. I just sit back and kind of go,
See, that would be the next thing that old fogies like you would be opposed to. I would just say not hip. The old fogies would be opposed to that. Will that be the next thing to fall? That it's okay? I'm just asking.
Wow.
Because you know that's what's coming next.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that.
So I'm just kind of curious.
Well, what are you going to do?
I am probably going to do traffic through most of the morning and update some web stuff and do what I always do. Just sit back and shake my head at this point.
Yeah, it's funny because you have a lot of people that are misinformed that are saying that the government should stay out of marriage. And you have a lot of people that lack the critical thinking skills that think this is a good thing. And as I write about it, is gay marriage legal now in Idaho? Not so fast, says Kevin Miller on the 580KIDO blog. I urge you to take a look at it. And I was talking to a few people last night because my phone's blowing up. And I said, look, this is the tyranny of the bench. This is usurping the will of the people. I can recall a man who gave me the name Kay Milley, the late Fred's Hansberger. He was a great talk show host in Pittsburgh. Used to drive me crazy because he, hey, Kay Milley. My name ain't Kay Milley, Fred.
Freddy. And now you call yourself Kay Milley now.
I've sold out. So anyway, and, at the time they had kind of groomed me to replace him. Of course, that didn't work out. But he was a conservative, but he wasn't a conservative like me. And he goes, Kevin, you don't need a marriage amendment. We've already passed by the House. And I go, that can be thrown out in court. I go, you have to have a constitutional amendment. That is your ironclad way to define marriage. And he would yell at me all the time about it and then yell about me for 2 or 3 hours during his show about it. And people would call in and beat me, which was fine. But now what does this say that the constitutional will of the people of Idaho are secondary to to the tyranny of the bench? One person, one woman in a black robe decides, boom, I'm sorry, that law is unconstitutional. And who do I blame? I blame the United States Supreme Court, and I blame the weenie Republicans that were appointed on that court, Justice Roberts, who punted on this issue a year ago or 2 years ago with Prop 8 in California because they took the coward's way out. Instead of ruling one way or the other, whether same-sex marriages were legal or not in America under the 14th Amendment, instead of ruling like they're supposed to, they punted it and said, well, really, since the state of California didn't defend Prop 8, the people that defended it were not relative to the case, I believe, so we're going to kick it back to the lower court, which ended Prop 8 in California. We're going to leave it up to the states. Well, the states have decided. And so just as there was an orchestrated campaign by the right, led by Karl Rove in 06 and 08, to get these constitutional amendments on the ballot, and to get them passed to help conservative candidates. This is not revenge of the Sith. This is revenge of the left. Now we see in every state, brilliantly by the left, across the country, you have these alleged harmed parties taking it through the courts. They will never get it through the will of the people. Maybe 30 or 40 years from now, perhaps, if the propaganda continues to permeate and the man-kissing Michael Sam makes it to the all-pro team in the NFL. However, this is how they overturn the law. They go to the courts, and it's a brilliant move. It's not a coincidence that Virginia, Arkansas, Idaho, Utah, New Mexico, they're all falling down because who's been in the courts? The liberal judges. That's my take on this case.
So where does it go Friday?
I think that the governor, and this was detailed in the releases, they had a feeling that this was going to happen, so they asked for a stay if the decision went a certain way. I think that the governor will get his injunction. The ban will stay in place because what the – and again, a shameless plug for the Kevin Miller blog at 580KIDO. As I point out, what happened in Utah, they do not want to happen here in Idaho or anywhere else. Remember, Dave, in Utah, woohoo, gay marriage, blah, blah, blah. They ran to the courthouse. They wanted to get it in quick before the injunction happened. And you're thinking, well, if it's legal, why do they care? If it's the law of the land, why do they care? There's no consistency. So what happens next? The injunction happens. Well, what happened to all the couples that got married? Are those marriages invalid? And so that's what happened in Utah. So this judge gave the governor, gave Lawrence Wasdin, who will be on this program today, an opportunity to get that injunction filed, the injunction against the injunction, the ban against the ban, so the marriages will not take place on Friday. If I were a betting man, I say the injunction happens, ergo the status quo remains. If not, it's a whole new world, little buddy.
So is then our governor labeled by as being a backwoods hillbilly non-progressive hater?
It's interesting because you had Dan Popke led by the, as I label them, the incompetent press corps in the state, not Mr. Popke, but what we have for media here, and where they tried to get him with a gotcha question with add the words. I was with the governor in Tampa where we had a gay activist, a radical lesbian, that's how she describes herself, verbally go after him. Governor Otter, and there's a big article today, Fulcher versus Otter, big debate. We're going to have Phil Hardy in on that tonight. However, I will say this. Now, I want you to, you tell me whether or not I've been impartial in this case. Have I been a homer for Governor Otter in this case? When we're talking, I'm sorry, a little confusing here, in the campaign, have I been pro-Governor Otter?
I don't think you've really been either direction, really.
Right. So let me put it to you this way. This is the best thing that could happen for Governor Otter, blog to come soon about it, because people that have been overly critical of him, people that have been overly, he's not conservative, he's sold out, he's a lib, health exchange this, Medicaid that, gas is that. Okay, what's the narrative now? Butch Otter and Lawrence Wasdin are standing up for marriage. Maybe in California it's different, but I think it resonates. It certainly doesn't hurt, and it is the wind at his backs, much to the same way Superstorm. Can you tell I'm excited?
I think so.
Superstorm Sandy was for President Obama. I'm looking at this last night, and my wife, Mrs. Miller, is going crazy because I'm going. I don't want to say a boondoggle, but this is very good for him. It, in all fairness, it eliminates any bump that Congressman Labrador's endorsement for Senator Fulcher got. I'm just being real. I'm just being honest. That's how I see it. I see this, and I'm sorry for filibustering here, but again, you know, as people are excited about football, sometimes they get excited about politics. This is the best news ever for Governor Otter, whether he needed it or not.
Well, let me ask you this, because you say not like in California. How did the people in California vote as far as gay marriage or not? How did the people vote?
51 wanted the traditional marriage.
So the majority wanted traditional marriage.
Yes, and liberal California. Amazing.
Mm-hmm. But judge overruled.
You're right. you're right. They took it to the courts, and there in turn was the blueprint. And then they saw that the Supreme Court was not going to have a definitive decision. And remember, who was it, Kennedy or one of them, started saying that if you are an opponent of gay marriage, if you believe in the traditional sanctity of marriage, then you're a bigot. Remember the inflammatory language by one of the justices in that decision?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, my goodness gracious.
Let me do this, though, Kevin. I hate to interrupt, but I got to be the judge. Here come the judge. Traffic now, judge. Kevin
Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And we are taking your calls this morning on the ruling by the big judge there.
It was a good day. I've been with Andrew for 16 years. We've wanted to get married. We have a beautiful 4-year-old boy together, and to be part of this is amazing, and I'm overwhelmed.
Well, there you have it. Are you overwhelmed as well? We'll get your reaction. Plus, Idaho Attorney General Lawrence Wasdin will weigh in, and what's next? You'll find out here first with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Let's get you to work safe. All right, coming up next, the political fallout of this, and this is why we have this program. For you, if you were watching last night and hearing everybody going, gee, what do you think? Oh, boy, this is the end. Oh, boy. Not so fast, my friend. Let's talk about it next. Unfiltered, uncensored, Kevin Miller with you, 580 KIDO. Good morning.
Serving Meridian.